Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. And we want to welcome to the studio another sponsor of our programming here at KNKT, probably the longest term sponsor, John Chitwood. You're not the oldest, but your sponsorship is.
Why, thank you. I was going to say, now my back's starting to hurt.
Yeah, I probably didn't phrase that exactly right, did I?
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that.
John Chitwood, of course, is the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive, and we haven't had John on. We usually have him on about every 3 or 4 weeks. We need to get back to that. This COVID thing's kind of goofed us up as well. John, it's not goofing you up, though. You're busier than heck.
No. Yeah, God is definitely blessing us, period, the end. I mean, you know, someone asked me, you know, one time, they said, so what are you saying? You know, I said, you know, you're asking God to break cars down? I said, no, not even close. I said, but cars will break down. I'm just asking God to bring them here.
That's right. You know? Well, it's like I laugh. A friend of mine, Buck Buckner, who's also a sponsor of the program, Rain Tunnel Car Spas here in town, I always tease him when it starts raining, because it always seems like it rains just enough to get your car dirty. I said, what's the deal you have with God, buddy?
No kidding. New Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A sprinkle and a dust storm. There you go.
That's right. But, John, I've got a list of questions that people have emailed me. And by the way, if you want to call John today, you can call us at 505-338-5790, or you can email me, jim@abqconnect.online. If you have a question, we're happy to try to get it on the air for you. John has been doing this a really long time. But I want to start, John, with your sponsorship here on KNKT, because you just don't advertise Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Correct.
You really talk about the Lord in all your spots.
It was a conviction. It was a conviction that I had years ago. Because when I first started out, you know, I mean, and I'm going to be blatantly honest, okay? When I was approached by the sales manager at that time, and this is back in 2000, and he says, hey, you know, we want to, you know, if you want to advertise, you know, I know you go to Calvary, and, you know, and I said, well, let's look into it, you know, and they go, oh, we can boost your business, and da-da-da-da-da. And I hate to say it, but, you know, that's what actually opened the door was like, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but the word greed, you know, seriously, because you're like, oh, business, more money, and your mind starts going all over the place. And then within a couple years of doing it, I started sponsoring the golf tournaments and stuff like that. And so I started looking at it, and it was real conviction, you know, from God that said, you know what, you've got to form a you know, you have a format here that you can actually, you know, tell people about me. And I'm like, okay, what do I do, God? And he gave me a commercial. Just, and like half of it, he says, yeah, you can say something about the business, but say this other half. And it was one of those things like, should I? You know, it's like, should I do this? And he said, yeah, yeah, I did. And it was almost like, you know, I can remember like the first time I was sitting in, well, home fellowship at that time, not a connect group, but the home fellowships that we used to have here. And, God put on my heart to take a stand at the shop. And I had a board in back that you would post, you know, oil changes or, you know, specials or whatever, you know. And he says, take all that down and put up John 14:6. You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. He says, put that up there. And I started thinking, do I dare? Do I dare? And as progressive as it got along, the bolder steps you take, the easier it is to take the next bold step. I mean, that's just the way it is.
And the reaction of the, quote, public.
Agreed. Now, don't get me wrong. I've actually had some adverse reactions to it, you know, because obviously I either have Christian music or KNKT playing in the background. I have scripture up on the wall. I have Bibles and tracts sitting over on the magazine rack. And yes, I've actually had, you know, adverse reactions. I actually had a gentleman come in there and tell my manager at that time, he says, I feel like I have bugs crawling all over me when I come in here. He says, I bet you get a lot of complaints on that. My manager says, no, we actually get a lot of compliments that we have it on. But, and, you know, but I've had that. I actually had a priest come in one time and looked at the scripture and made an adverse comment about it. And I was thinking, oh, that's odd.
Yeah, that's
you know. I've had other customers say, "Turn down that radio or turn off that radio." I said, "No, I won't turn it off." You know, I mean, you got to take a stand. You have to take a stand.
Well, I think that there's absolutely no mistaking who and what John Chitwood is.
I would sure hope not.
You're a Christian man. But here's the thing. Most people that know you, even if they don't agree with your faith position, they still know you're going to take great care of them.
Yeah, agreed. And here, I want you to think about that. You know, in a world we live today where the government, everybody else wants to actually squash the Christian, ideology and worldview. Okay. Where, we live in a world where if you're Christian, it's almost, you get that adverse reaction. And yet they know if you're a Christian that you will hold to a higher ethic than them. And well, when you come in, they know they're not going to get cheated.
And not only do they know that they're not going to get cheated, but they also know if a mistake is made.
Correct.
You're going to take the responsibility.
Exactly.
They know. And again, here's the fun thing that I know about you, because I've seen people engage you in conversations. Mm-hmm. You're going to listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
You don't care what their position is. I shouldn't say that. You do care about their position, so you listen.
Right, exactly.
Even if it's different than yours.
Right.
And I appreciate that about you. Well, John Chitwood is the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive. They are located at 7100 Southern Boulevard Southeast in Rio Rancho. Wrong?
2300.
Oh, did I put
2300
down?
Southern Boulevard.
Why
folks, don't listen to Jim.
Man, I wrote it down wrong. What did I do here?
It's 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho.
And it's 505-892-2300, right?
Yes, 505-892-2300. Wow. That's 892-2300.
I'm blowing it here. Okay. But you also provide services outside of Rio Rancho.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot that you provide. I mean, you provide some towing services, and there's a few caveats to that. But people can depend upon you to help them with their cars.
Yes.
And I want to get back to one last point about your advertising. You talk about how cars can be restored.
Correct.
But you also talk about how a car that's properly maintained all the time.
Correct.
Doesn't need to be restored.
Right.
It stays in good shape.
You know, I always bring up the, when I talk to people, I said, my brother and I, he's 4 years older than I am. And we were, if you contrast this, our personalities are black and white, night and day. Okay. And growing up was the same way. He followed the straight line towards Christ and I went the deviant way. Mm. And yeah, Christ brought me back. And I understand, all that with the restoration. Okay. But to me, he has the better, because it's to be weak was to say, I'm going to go the deviant way. Mm. He was the stronger by staying the course. And which is what, Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation. He says, he says, be faithful till the end.
Hey, you're also loyal to a few other things in addition to our Savior. You have a beautiful wife, been married a
yes.
long time.
Yes.
You're open about challenges in that relationship, which
oh,
we
yeah.
may ask about later on, but how you guys have together worked through things. And you are in business together. She's co-owner. She works
yes.
kind of behind the scenes and supports things that are going on. Counts the beans, so to speak. And I'm blessed to know that everything's gone well for you during COVID. You are taking extra precautions with people.
Of course.
So when they come in, you're wearing masks. You're doing different things
yeah.
to keep people safe and have ways to protect your employees as well.
Oh yeah, we even offer we just came across about a month or two ago. It's a BG product that we actually spray into the vents that actually get rid of germs.
Oh,
that actually kills the bacteria and it makes the car smell nice.
Well, John, let's start with a few questions from our listeners.
Sure.
And if you want to call John, call him today at 505-338-5790 and we'll bring you on to the program. Here's the first question. And this was sent to me via email. It says, when I'm at a stoplight, my air conditioner stops working. I guess it still blows, but it's not blowing cold air until they start driving again. What could be causing the problem? This is on a 2012 Chevy 1500 truck.
Fairly simple. Okay. You're only really going to have two possible problems on something like this. Okay. And that is one, you either have a low charge in the system. That's the most common. Or two, the cooling fan is not pulling enough air across the front of the condenser. Condenser is what looks like a quote-unquote radiator that's in front of the radiator. The AC condenser, that's where the refrigerant liquefies again, but it has to be cooled down because once it leaves the compressor and goes there, it's red hot. And it has to be turned from a gas back into a liquid. And the fan and the air coming across that cools that back down to get it back into the system. If there's not enough air flowing across that AC condenser, then it will just start getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Okay, now that's very, very common. Both of those are equally common. Or if it's too low of a charge and it's just not moving enough refrigerant.
And easily things that can be repaired by Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Yes, no problem at all.
Seems like a common thing on an older vehicle.
It would be on an older vehicle because of a fan clutch or something like that that's not actually pulling air across. Mm-hmm. A lot of the newer vehicles like his right here, I'm almost positive that actually has an external electric fan that's on the front of the condenser that'll actually blow air through. So he could have a fan problem for that matter as well.
John, how did you get started working on cars?
My dad owned gas stations in Tennessee, owned a couple gas stations in Tennessee when I was born. And we moved out here when I was 4 years old, actually to Mountain Air. And he bought a motel gas station, property that was all together. So I grew up working on cars like as long as I can remember. Mm. I mean, I've always been in it. I always tell people that I said, automotive repair isn't something that you can all of a sudden, I think I'm going to start, being an automotive technician. It doesn't work that way. I always say you got to become, almost be born into it and have a natural inclination for how things work and how to get them back to restored order.
Mm. Here's another thing I know about you that you've talked about and I kind of joke with you about. You love Hummer rescue vehicles, don't you?
Yes, I own one. No.
And by that, I mean you like to drive Jeeps.
Yes, yes. Older ones.
So what's old?
Old, to me, is in the CJ series.
Okay,
and CJ stopped in 86.
Ah.
They made the last one. Then they went to the Wrangler, but they used a lot of the same parts, but a lot of the frames and stuff were a lot thinner. Because they had to, try to meet EPA standards, because that's when a lot of stuff started to change in the EPA and they started putting all these mandates on them. So they said, okay, for us to get these vehicles to run in a clean and manly order, they actually had to make it lighter.
Now, is that the old straight six and a lot of those CJs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really nice motor.
4.2, and then they also had, 347 stuff. They had a lot of good ones, in there.
Well, I laugh about it because I remember when Hummers came out, and of course they're not sold anymore. There's still a lot of used ones around.
I think
actually the internal stuff, engines and stuff, are GM products.
Exactly right.
So, pretty good motors and stuff, but the vehicles themselves didn't hold up as well as a Jeep.
Correct. And it's just the way the body was made. They made obviously the H1, the Humvee was so wide, so wide. And then those are still around. I mean, they were built to last, but they were impractical for the road, for actually driving. Then they went to H2, then the H3 and on and on. And they actually just became just kind of like Tahoes and Yukons with a square body, and so, like the H3 and H4s, they were actually just, the smaller, the Blazers, the Trailblazers with a different body. Gotcha. And you couldn't see out the window. You could see out the windshield and to your left, and that was it.
Well, I get a kick out of car guys because car guys all have a vehicle they really like. Like you've got
their faves.
That's right. You got the Mustang guys. I know I've got a bunch of friends of mine that really love all the Shelby Mustangs.
Right.
And they know everything about the transmissions and they know everything about the scoops and the turbochargers and all, what went into the AC Cobra, one of those.
Right.
I just watched that series between, it was about the Ford guy versus the Ferrari guy.
Oh yeah. Ford versus Ferrari.
But it wasn't really Ford. It was really Carroll Shelby.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the whole story. Yeah, because of what his designs were.
Yeah, and Carroll Shelby, what an interesting life he had. I mean, he just loved cars. He's a car guy.
Correct.
And then I've got other friends that they wouldn't do anything except drive Camaros and Corvettes.
Correct.
and everybody's got their loyalties. We are in studio this afternoon with John Chitwood. He's the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast in Rio Rancho, 892-2300. And if you want to call the station to ask John a question this afternoon, call us after during our next segment at 505-338-5790. More with John coming up. Stay with us.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budgay. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local. Follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
John Chitwood in studio. He's the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive, regular guest on the show, longtime sponsor of the programming at KNKT. John, we appreciate you supporting the ministry, and you do a lot of ministry, teaching Bible studies and some other things. I was going to ask you how long Southern Boulevard Automotive had been serving customers at 7100 Southern Boulevard. That would have been a big mistake. You're located at 2300 Southern Boulevard. How long have you been there?
Well, when I started in 95. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my, at the beginning of 95. This is my, I'm finishing up my 26th year. And, I actually became the owner incorporated in 99. So I took over from the original owner, you know, but I started running the show pretty much right when I got there.
Yeah. Well, neat. I mean, it's neat that you've known what you wanted to do. What brought you back? You kind of described that you strayed a little bit.
Well, I mean, I have a long testimony. I have a real long testimony and you know, and I mean, obviously it's nothing we could do here on the show or I'd take up your whole hour. And then I would just be giving you highlights. You know, cause I was raised in a Christian home. You know, my mom was very, I mean, and some people will know when I say this, what this is, but she was a Mennonite. Mm-hmm. So it was very strict. Not so much on us, but I mean, and my dad was the Baptist from the hills of Tennessee. So it was like, you know, good old boy, just go to church on Sunday, but you can do whatever you want the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. So I had that, you know, that kind of dysfunctional, home life where, you know, you think, okay, yeah, I got to go to church, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And yet at the same time, I could do whatever I want the rest of the week. Mm. And so anyway, but I did. I actually started running from God. I ran from God for about 12 years, about 11 to 12 years. I ran as hard as I could. And, through a friend of mine, cause I went to Last Day. I actually was at Last Day's Ministries. Keith Green, singer, songwriter, died in 82. Yeah. He actually was in, and this is before, you know, I ran from God. You know, I was actually in a ministry, in Texas at Keith Green's ministry. And I was over there for 3 years. And, you know, through a lot of different weird circumstances, a friend of mine actually contracted, Hodgkin's, and he was in his, the fourth and final stages, and, drew me back over there just to be with him for a little while. And like I said, it's a long story, but God used that to bring me back to him. Mm. And in the midst of it, he healed my friend.
Wow.
And I just talked to him last week. You know, we've been to Israel together. I mean, you know, it's a long story, but God's restoring power. Is I am living testimony that God can restore anybody.
Amen.
Anybody.
John, let's go to another car question. I like weaving in these John Chitwood personal moments with questions from our listening audience. Here's a question for you from one of our listeners. My car is pulling to the right when I brake suddenly. The car is less than a year old, 2020 Nissan Altima.
Okay. One of two things. Okay. Actually, well, a couple different things. Okay. Let's just talk about this. If it's only pulling when you're braking, it could be a couple different things. One, you could have a caliper that's actually grabbing. Okay. And pulling you that way. You know, a little is grabbing too quick, or you could have one that's sticking open. And so the other one is actually, and the other one's not. Mm. Okay. Or you could actually have a suspension steering problem where you've got a bushing or something that is out of alignment. And what happens is when you hit the brakes, it actually automatically falls that way and it makes the car shift over.
So I'm thinking in my mind, 2020, okay, probably under warranty. She's probably taking it in, not getting any diagnosis. Somebody's correct, telling her everything's okay.
Right.
She does need to come in, though, and get it looked at because it's dangerous if she doesn't get it fixed.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, you think about it. You know, she's let's say you're in a four lanes, right? And she's in the left-hand lane, and she has to hit her brakes real quick, and you just happen to be on the right side of her. Mm. You know, now her right fender is going to be in your left fender, and the two shall be one.
Well, and I know that, you know, people buy new cars mm-hmm. because they're not anticipating having to spend agreed. Any money for 3 years on repairs. But agreed. Sometimes when you come up with something like this, you need to get it looked at by somebody that really knows what
agreed.
They're doing.
Agreed. You know, and you're correct. When someone buys a vehicle, they're under the, you know, assumption, and I use the word assumption, that everything's going to be perfect. And I've had people ask me, you know, oh, what's your favorite car? You know, and I've had that a lot. You know, what vehicle do you like the most? What do you see less of and stuff like this? And I always tell them, you know, I'll give them, you know, I like Toyota, Honda, stuff like that, you know, but I'll tell them, you know, I said, I'll be real honest with you. I said, keep this in mind. Not one vehicle out there is made by God. Mm-hmm. I said, so it's not perfect is what I'm trying to get at. Okay. Anything can come off the assembly line broken.
Yes.
You know, or loose. I said, you know, because God didn't make it. I don't care how many times you check something, you still have human fallibility that's, you know, at the doorstep.
John, why do you think God made us fallible with sin?
Well, I mean, you ask that. It's like, you know, you think about that, and it's under the assumption, you know, that God did make us fallible. See, where you have free will, okay, whether it's free will, there's love, right? Mm-hmm. And where there's love, there's a possibility of pain. And where there's pain, you know, there's a possibility of a savior. Okay. And where there's a savior, you have the possibility of what? Redemption. Mm. And if you have redemption, there's always going to be the possibility of restoration. Okay. But it's under the assumption that it's like that. Did God make us fallible or did he give us free will? Because free will has to, you know, where there's free will, there has to be love. Because love has to have what? Has to have the free will.
Choice.
Well, it has to have the choice not to love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or else it's not love.
Well, and I say the same thing. I try to explain to people, if God would have created us not like himself,
right,
we wouldn't have been able to make any choices. We wouldn't have been volitional beings, but we would have kind of been like puppets. He would have fired a few lightning bolts down and scared right. us into thinking whatever he wanted.
Well, if we were puppets, he wouldn't have to worry. He just yanks it, and then we're robots.
But he created us in his image.
Exactly right.
And what's really neat, I've asked a lot of people, I've said this on the show 100 times, hey, what is the most important thing? And I have Christians all the time say, well, it's reading the Bible. You got to read the Bible as much as you can. I've had others say, well, you have to obey what the word says, and that's the most important thing. And then I try to remind them, because I have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the most important thing is that God forgives you for your sin, and he died on the cross to take the penalty of your sins. So the very most important thing is that you acknowledge that you need his forgiveness, that you're a sinner, and he wipes you clean.
You know, if someone, and you're correct, if someone says, I'm guilty of being wrong, I'm guilty of wrong, I'm guilty of wrong, I'm sorry, I'm guilty of wrong, there's no change. It's only, and you're correct, it's only when someone says, I'm a sinner, then I can say, I have a savior for you. Okay? And if you don't understand that you're a sinner, there's no way that you're going to say, I need a savior, because you become your own savior then. You know, because, you know, until you come to that knowledge of, you know, needing a savior because you are a sinner, and you're exactly right.
Yeah. So now, again, that was a personal moment with John Chitwood. I love it. I'm going to keep doing that, but I got to ask another car question.
Sure.
And here's one that I'm really interested in
because
I've put my share of this on my dashboards. Is Armor All good for your dashboard? It seems to be clouding up my windshield. Can you recommend a better product?
Armor All is bad. One, that what you're seeing cloud up in there, that's all the, you know, the
oils?
Oils and just, you know, the debris that comes off of there. And you can do that after you Armor All something, you know, it'll sit there. And what it actually does, it actually will dry out your dash. I can show you dashes that have been Armor All'd. And that are when they're big old cracks, I'm like, ooh, that dash was Armor All'd. Okay. A friend of mine, he's actually an employee that, does all our detailing. He actually uses Meguiar's, Back to Black, and he likes that. And he says he's had no problems. He said he's used it for, you know, 5-10 years. And he says he's had no issues whatsoever. And he really likes it. He says it doesn't cloud up his windshield. So, I mean, that's what I have him put on mine, and I've had no issues with it.
Yeah. I have had cracked dashboards, and I'm always wondering why did I have that? I put all Armor All on it every day, every week.
See?
But I have noticed that, especially on hot days, and of course we've had a particularly hot summer, you put Armor All on a dashboard and then it's cooking in the sun, it's evaporating.
Exactly.
And it ends up on your window.
Exactly right. And all of a sudden you've got an oil, this oil film all over your window, and it's hard to get off.
Oh boy, it's,
you know, we've had customers come in and we're like, we got to clean your windshield. We can't even see the drive. I don't see how you got here.
Yeah. Yeah. John, do you check vehicles for people before they take trips?
Like, oh yeah, all the time.
So they, like, if I wanted to drive to California in a couple of weeks, Labor Day's coming up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
A lot of people will need to get their vehicles checked out. What kind of things do you do for them when they come
in? We actually have a AAA 38 point check that it's a visual check. Obviously we're not taking everything apart on it. It's free. We do it for anybody that wants to come in, you know, and say, hey, you know, I'll do it. You don't have to be a AAA member. Though they do run the ads for the AAA members. We'll do it for you and just look it over just to see, you know, make sure everything's going to be good. We check the tires, we check the belts, we check the hoses, you know, make sure you don't have any leaks that are bad. I mean, I've had people come in like, and I've told them, I go, you're about to take a trip, and I'll take him, look him in the car and go, your radiator's leaking, you know? And he goes, well, I didn't see that. And it's a big old moss buildup. I'm like, that's because it's not leaking quick, but, you know, it's going to be a gamble either way you go.
And John, you are a teacher because you've done this with me. I brought in my old Nissan Armada and you put it up and said, Jim, come over here. And you start showing me, got a little leak here. You got this, you got that. This is a control arm that's kind of loose. You might need some ball joints or whatever.
Right.
And you understand what all that means. And I just say, okay, John.
Well, I'm trying to teach, you know what I'm saying? You try to at least show people, like, you know, here, get under here and let me show you what I see.
But I think that's really important because you're not, I've been to places where you go in for an oil change and they end up with a list of 25 things they want to sell you. Oh, well, you need the 70,000 mile transmission oil change that only is $450 and we'll flush out your whole right. transmission. And then this and that. And maybe all of that is good, but I feel like I'm being sold. And I'd rather just have somebody educate me. Hey, look, here's what the data indicates. You probably have driven 70,000 miles. You got all these metal particles in your transmission. So is that a valuable service to drain your transmission when you have high mileage and put in new fluid?
Yeah, I mean, but the fluid needs to be checked. I mean, look, we'll do it for people. Like, you know, we've had people come in, you know, and we'll check the fluid. They go, oh, I need a transmission service. And I pull it out. And they say, I haven't never had it done. And I'll pull the dipstick out and I'll show them the fluid. I'm like, I'll do it if you want, but I'm telling you. And I'll show them on my hand the fluid, you know, that I pull off the dipstick. I said, when I'm done, that fluid is going to be the same color. It's going to be as clear as that. I said, I wouldn't do it if it was mine. You're fine. Mm. You know, I'm like, you know, and then I've also had the ones come in and I pulled it off and I'll show them the dipstick and their transmission fluid, which is not supposed to be nice, pink and clear. And it's like black as tar. Mm. And I'm like, you know, and I'll tell them, I've even warned them. I said, I won't do this. I will not flush your transmission because that transmission probably will not move again when I'm done. I'm like, you know, so you got that in between, you know what I'm saying? One's the extreme of, you know, hey, the fluid's fine. The other one's, hey, you've never taken care of it. And then you got the in between. Then I'll say, hey, you know, you do need to take care of this or you're going to run into problems and it's going to be more expensive down the road.
And the other option is to just bring your car in for regular service.
Right.
Get it checked out by Southern Boulevard Automotive. They are located at 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast, Rio Rancho. 892-2300, of course, area code 505. More with John Chitwood. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
God is love. God's love is intrinsic. It is as essential to God as light is to the sun, as blue is to the sky, as wet is to water. You don't make water wet. It is wet. In all of these cases, attribute is intrinsic to the object. Take great joy in your God. He loves you. Hey, this is Pastor Scott Thom of Cross Christian Fellowship. Connect with us at crossfellowship.org.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
New Mexico, we love it, but it's no secret our state is left behind in some very vital social issues. Child hunger, single parents, and abortion, to name a few. The people of God can and must take action. That's what Mission New Mexico is all about at KNKT and Star 88, this month featuring the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. Here's their executive director, Stephanie Liu.
We do share Christ with our clients. We let them know their value, and if they don't know their value, they're not going to value that little life inside of them.
That's Stephanie Liu from the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, this month's Mission New Mexico. Loving our neighbors in practical and productive ways is Christianity 101 at KNKT and Star 88, we are a megaphone for New Mexico needs as we provide a clear call to action. Find out more about supporting the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque by clicking the Mission New Mexico link at knkt.com or star88.fm.
When Israel was in its glory days, they had great privilege, but they did not learn. Skip Heitzig hits us with a quick hotspot.
They go from a place of quality and it ends at a place of captivity. So from excellence to exile, from quality to captivity.
And here's the lesson.
But we too can go from quality to captivity, from excellence in Christ to exile. We can be trapped, we can become in bondage to a number of things. And that is not what God wants for your life.
Want more from Skip? Visit connectwithskip.com.
I believe God wants you to live a quality life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
More abundantly. Enjoy Skip's teachings from the comfort of your home. Add the Skip Heitzig channel to your Roku device.
I think the Lord wants you to have joy.
Have joy.
He wants you to have a quality of life experience that other people don't have that make unbelievers want what you have by their observation of your life.
Observation of your life.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I want to emphasize again something we talked about earlier. You're a Christian man.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not a way to have a Christian automotive. You can't be a Christian. You can be a Christian mechanic, but there's not a Christian way to repair a car. There's integrity and everything else, and that's reflected in your business. But you are a professional certified mechanic, as are all of your people.
Right.
They're highly qualified.
Right.
And as a businessman, you are there to serve anybody that walks in the door, regardless of their faith position.
Of course.
But
of
you're
course.
Not going to sugarcoat what you think.
No, not at all. See, that's why, you know, with the radio stations or the music or the scripture on the wall or the Bible or anything else, you know, yes, I have a business to run, but this is who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that challenged me, and I've challenged hundreds of people with this, especially in my Bible studies, you know, when one day Christianity becomes outlawed, and let's just say a bounty's put out and it says, hey, if you can prove beyond the shadow of a doubt, if you have all the empirical evidence in the world that this man is a Christian, we'll arrest him and we'll give you a reward. Is there enough empirical evidence, outward evidences, to convict you?
Mm.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yes.
You know, and that's what really started bringing it up. You know what? I don't want to tell somebody, oh, well, I'm a Christian. Oh, I didn't know that. I want no one to ever say that about me.
You know what would be interesting as you say that, to be convicted of being a Christian because you were loving and cared about people no matter what they
Right.
believed, that you were feeding people and taking care of other people's needs, not because you got any reward for it, but because
Correct.
They were in need.
Right.
That'd be a neat thing to be convicted of.
Right. Agreed. And you think about that, you know, and I think that's one of the biggest things why I was really challenged, you know, to, you know, put the scripture on the wall, you know, that Jesus is the only way, you know, and because truth by definition is exclusive. You know, if I say this is true, that means every other way is what? False.
False.
Okay. And that's what I wanted to really put out there, because I didn't have enough letters to put John 14:6 on my scripture. So I had, but it came with a little finger that just pointed. And then I had to spell Jesus' name. So yeah. Instead of putting John 14:6, I have a finger that says, Jesus said this.
John, I can ask you about the cost of certain repairs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, I mean, you could tell me how much an oil change costs.
Right, right.
If I came in and I had a transmission problem, you'd have to evaluate it and
Correct.
You'd give me a price.
Correct.
What's the price people have to pay to be a Christian?
Price has already been paid. See, I mean, that's the point. The price has already been paid. You know, there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. You remember in John, right? And when they said, you know, Jesus finishes feeding the 5,000, right? And he goes across the sea. And in the morning, they're like, oh, man, where did he go? So they all travel and they follow him over there. And they're trying to corner him into that. And they keep using the word works. What must we do to work the works of God? And what does Jesus say? He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent. In the Son of Man. Believe. They wanted to do something physical. They wanted to pay a price. It says, nope. Actually, they wanted bread. But, you know, but the essential point is what? That the price has already been paid. That's why he said on the cross, it is finished. Tetelestai.
So we don't have to pay a price.
No.
for our sin.
No, it's already. Well, you pay a price for your sin if you don't repent.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
well,
yeah,
there's earthly consequences,
yeah,
too.
Well, yeah, there's not only just earthly consequences, there's eternal consequences. Mm. I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. We're talking about the unconditional love of God. Is God's love really unconditional? They said, well, because, you know, it says that God is angry with the sinner every day or the wicked every day. And it's true. His love is unconditional. His acceptance is conditional. I mean, he loves us even though, you know, what did Paul say? He loved us while we were yet still sinners. But his acceptance, that's conditional.
And if it's just like a father with a child.
Exactly right. He's not going to put up with, you know, the behavior of a child that's been rebellious.
Yeah, but he's still going to give the child a choice.
And he's also going to love that child to the end. But he's going to give that child the choice of whatever he wants to do. Mm. In other words, that's the acceptance. It's not going to be accepted for everybody.
How does your faith direct your business in dealing with employees?
There is a scripture that it talks about where God says, you know, it says the voices of those, you know, of your servants cry out to me for the wages that you have stole from them. Okay. It speaks about, you know, that you have a, you know, you have a businessman or, you know, at that time an owner, you know, and then he hires servants and he's cheated them. Okay. And that's one of those things that, you know, I never want it to be said ever that I cheated an employee or that I cheated a customer or cheated period. Because, I mean, how would you like to stand before God and say, you know, yep, I took $20 out of their check. You know, I mean, illegitimately. Yeah. So, and that's what I'm saying, you know, so yeah, it directs that. In
and
all
you might get away with that down here, but you're not getting away with it when you go to heaven.
And, yeah, true, but at the same time, you know, do you really get away with it down here? You know, I mean, seriously.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit's working.
Exactly right. You don't get away with nothing. You know, I actually, you know, I had an ex-employee, you know, and it wasn't a happy parting. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, you know, and, they had done a warranty job and I completely spaced it. And the warranty paperwork came in like 3 or 4 months later that they finally paid us for the warranty. And I looked it up. I go, he had done the job. And I call him up. Yeah. What do you want? You know, I told him, I said, hey, you got money here. I said, the warranty just came through. Oh, thank you. And then it comes in, but that's the point, you know. It's like, you know, I don't ever want the wages of what I owe somebody to cry out against me, ever. I would rather go over than I would under.
What kind of training do you do with your employees in addition to the professional mechanics stuff that they have to do?
As far as what? I mean, as far
well,
as repair?
I guess,
because repair is constant.
Well,
constant training.
I know that you people are highly qualified. Your folks are right on it. I guess I'm asking more about the human elements. You mentioned earlier that there's people that have come in and criticized John Chitwood.
Oh, of course.
For your faith or
yeah.
for how you decorate it.
I've had employees do that. Yeah.
Well, I know me. I'm not a gentle man the way I should be. And I sometimes let that get under my skin. Is there training that you do with employees and teach them how to overcome anger and personal kinds of favoritism and other kinds of things that you might see common with people?
You know what? That is, how do you say that? I mean, it's the personal person, right? I mean, because each one of us, you know what our limitations are or, you know, we find out what they are. One thing I've talked, you know, with Cody is many, many times I said, this comes with experience. It does come with experience. And you think about that, you know, God training you. That's why God doesn't put some people into ministry right away. Mm. It's because they need to know how to carry a load. You know, let's say you've got an employee that comes and gets belligerent. Do you get belligerent back? You may have at the beginning, you know, of your career, but you don't now. You just let them blow off the steam. And then in the heat of the moment, everything calms down. Then you go talk to them. Nice and softly, and then you talk to them logically. And that's the same with customers or anybody else or parts people, your suppliers, whatever it may be. But yes, I mean, heat of the moment, you know, anything can be said, but you know, you start to learn as, you know, you get older and wiser, if you will, you know, more experience, that blowing up isn't going to help anybody. And in fact, it hurts you.
Mm. John Chitwood, the owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive, in studio with us this afternoon. Southern Boulevard is located at 2300 Southern Boulevard Southeast, Rio Rancho. Their phone number is 892-2300. Call John. We've got a couple more questions that I have. If you have a question that you'd like to call and ask John about, call him at 505-338-5790 here in the KNKT studios. We'll be back with a couple more customer questions for John. Stay with us.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budgay. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
Here's Skip with Joel Rosenberg to talk about this month's offer, Joel's book, The Jerusalem Assassin.
When Joel Rosenberg releases a new book, I can't wait to read it.
It's about an American president who's about to roll out his Middle East peace plan.
Joel Rosenberg's novels are dramatic stories ripped from the reality of today's headlines.
Saudi-Israeli peace plan, that would be huge. That would be historic. Let's do it. Let's do a summit in Jerusalem. That's the setup of The Jerusalem Assassin.
The Jerusalem Assassin by Joel Rosenberg is our special offer this month. Your hardcover copy of The Jerusalem Assassin is our thank you gift when you give $35 or more today to help expand this Bible teaching outreach with Skip Heitzig. So, call now to get your copy, 800-922-1888, or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
I hope you will order your copy of The Jerusalem Assassin by Joel Rosenberg.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with John Chitwood. Give him a call this afternoon if you have an automotive question, 505-338-5790 here in the KNKT studios. And we want to welcome Bob, caller. You have a question for John Chitwood, Bob?
Yes, hi, John.
Hey, Bob.
I have a 2003 Chevy one-ton truck, and every time I press the brake with a heavy load, it starts shaking, and I've taken it in, had it realigned. I've taken it in and had a front-end alignment. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, what it is people will call it different things. Like they'll say, oh, your front rotors are warped, okay? And essentially, it's not that they're warped. It's that they have low spots on the rotors. Okay, and it comes from like a hard braking and you like a hard stop, and you hold the pedal, you know, hard to the floor, trying to keep the vehicle stopped. And what ends up happening is now the rotors will pulsate, and so and you probably just don't feel it as much when you don't have a load. But when, you know, because of the one ton, it's a big vehicle, you know, and it absorbs a lot of that pulsation. But when you have the load, now it's got to feel that. And what happens is those low spots are, it's a skipping over the low spot. So you get that pulsation and that shake. So it need to happen, you know, need to have the rotors trued up and possibly replace the, front brake pads, or even have the front rotors replaced, depending, you know, if they got cracks on them or not. Because being one ton and, you know, a lot of the braking on that, because you got a heavy load and it's pushing you, you know, momentum is king, you know, where it actually will superheat the rotors and crack them. So this needs to have a good brake inspection done and either replace or resurface the front rotors and either replace or clean up the brake pads.
Well, I appreciate your information and would like to thank you guys for showing the rest of us that God is good.
Amen to that, brother.
Thank you, Bob, for your call. We appreciate you calling very much.
You bet. Bye.
Hey, here's another question from a listener. She said, I was involved in a car accident 60 days ago. Mm-hmm. The body shop did a nice job on my front left fender, but the car does not feel right. Does Southern Boulevard Automotive do mechanical inspections after accidents? She's driving a Lincoln MKZ.
And the answer is yes. And to a point for that matter. Okay. No, we don't have a frame machine or something like that. But, more than likely when people feel something that's not right after an accident, more than likely it's got to be either suspension, steering, something like that, because that's the only thing you're really going to feel. You know, quote unquote feel going down the road. It's like, okay, it doesn't handle right. You know, either my steering's a little stiff or it's a little loose, or, you know, it seems to veer off to the right or to the left. Something's not right. So what we would do is bring it in, get it on the alignment machine and just reinspect it and see what all our numbers sit at. Because a lot of times when people get in accidents, you know, all they see is the outward. In other words, you know, yeah, I hit my fender. Yeah, I got nailed, you know, in the right rear. Well, what they don't understand is maybe, just maybe, it pushed the strut tower inward and they don't see it. It can be a couple of degrees and it will feel odd. You may be riding on the outside of your tire. You may be riding on the inside of your tire. Your tire may be turned, you know, a different, you know, actually inward on the rear, and the whole vehicle is tracking weird.
Well, I think the Lincoln MKZ is a particularly luxurious type SUV.
It's a higher end, yes.
So you probably just have a really quiet cabin and really sensitive steering.
Correct, correct.
And so I can imagine she's feeling something that's a little different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, and we get that a lot. You know, have you ever been going down the road and you're behind a truck or a car or something like that, and you notice that the rear end, it almost seems like it's to the side?
Yes, I have seen
that. That's called dog tracking. Okay. And it's dog tracking. And what that is that means the rear wheels are out of alignment. And what they've done is the rear wheels are out of alignment and they align the front wheels to the rear wheels. So everything's straight as far as going down, but it's offset because the rear is not, as you know,
does that mean
right.
The frame is bent?
It could be the frame is bent or something like, you know, the rear axle maybe just be out of line, you know, and just needs to be set back where it needs to be.
I didn't even know you could reset stuff like
that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Or like you said, it could be bent and we'd have to go to a frame shop and get pulled.
Yeah. And how do frame shops work? Does that technology work pretty well?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, especially nowadays. Okay. With all the computers and everything else. I was actually at I got to tour a high end. And when I say high end, I'm talking they only did exotics. And what was really interesting about that is I'm watching them and they did they put it on a computer and the computer would actually pull the frame where it needed to go. And, wow. And realigned it. I'm talking within just a micro. I was impressed. I mean, so yes, there's machines out there that people can have that are really, you know, precise.
John, this might be a silly question, but you know, usually there's like a box is the way the frame is designed. Some of them are C channel type stuff. But I imagine that once that gets bent and then you bend it back, is it weaker then?
No, it doesn't work that way. The only way it would actually get weaker, per se, would actually be because everything nowadays is really unibody. And it's all one piece. You're thinking about with the channel and everything, you're thinking about the old school, you know, like a A 70 GTO.
Well, that would be because I'm old, John.
And Jim's the oldest. No.
Do you know something about GTO?
One or two.
Since you have one parked in your driveway?
No, but I have one parked in my garage.
Oh, there you go.
But
you have one parked at 7100 Southern Boulevard?
No, I don't live at 7100 Gun. No. But you're thinking of the old style. But now we're talking about the unibody, and it's actually the frame is part of the body.
Oh.
Okay. And it's part of the, you know, actually the substructure of it. You know, so that, you know, when a unibody gets really tweaked, there's only thing you can do. And that's go through the seats and look for loose change. I mean, because you're done. I mean, you know, there's not much straightening in those. And if you do, it's like you said, it's never right. But you got to be in a bad accident. And if the subframe or the unibody is really bent on something, generally speaking, the insurance company is going to total it.
You know, occasionally I notice on Craigslist, and I'm just looking mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. it for recreation, I notice that there are salvage title vehicles that are sold all the time. Are those ever worth buying?
Yes and no. Okay. If you want to buy something, let's say you come across, you say, John, I see a 92 Chevy pickup here. I really like it. It's a four-wheel drive. I've been looking for a four-wheel drive, but this thing has a salvage title. I'll say, Jim, how long do you expect to keep it? And you go, well, I don't know. I said, well, that's just the problem. If you buy it with a salvage title to resell it, you're not going to get what you think the vehicle's worth because it has a salvage title. And no one's going to ever trust you. So why did the insurance company total it? Because that's the only really way to get it salvaged. And that's because the repairs to the vehicle, according to the insurance company, now there's a fine line here, a gray area, and I'll talk about that, is that you it'll have, you know, it had to exceed, the repairs had to exceed 70% of the value of the car. Okay. If the car was worth $100 and it costs $70 to fix it, it's totaled. Mm. I mean, it's that kind of a ratio. But what's been interesting to me is I've seen some cars that, you know, have come to our shop, like, you know, they hit the frame or they hit the, you know, the front end got damaged or something like that, fenders. And you look at it and you go, oh, that's not that bad. And they've totaled it. And because they said, well, it needs this, and all of a sudden they rack up the number, and you're looking at it, and you know, as a fact, it's not totaled. Mm. That is fixable, easily fixable, but they still.
But the value of the car is still taken away because it has a salvage title.
Minimum half.
But it might be a nice vehicle. Car to drive.
Exactly.
If
that's
you're
going
to keep it.
That's why I said, if you want to keep it. But something like that, you need to have inspected thoroughly.
And
more
than
thoroughly.
Is that something you guys will do for people?
To a point. I mean, I can only look at so much. I mean, I'd want to put it on a frame machine and see if anything's bent.
Yeah. And you have a frame guy that you send to.
No, I have body shops I'll send them to. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you've got relationships.
Oh, yeah.
And
I have resources to put people through. Oh, yeah.
It's going to cost a couple bucks.
Oh, yeah, of course.
To get that done.
Right.
But it might save you thousands.
In the long run. I had a guy want to buy a Bronco one time, and he couldn't wait. He finally brings it to me on Monday. He goes, I just bought it. And I looked at him and go, your frame's bent.
Ooh.
I said, I'm sorry.
A day late. John, do you help people that are just in the market buying used cars?
All the time.
Fantastic. John Chitwood, owner of Southern Boulevard Automotive. They're located at 2300 Southern Boulevard, Southeast Rio Rancho, 892-2300. John, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, Jim.
By Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.